This is DW News live from Berlin. Protesters in Hong Kong defy a ban to make their voices heard. Thousands of demonstrators take to the streets for an unauthorised rally, undeterred by recent violent attacks on pro-democracy activists. Also coming up, Bolivians are voting in elections that will determine whether left-wing President Evo Morales will be given a fourth term in office. And travel halfway around the world on just one plane. An airline makes history, setting a new record for the longest non-stop commercial flight. I'm Rebecca Ritters. Welcome to the program. Protesters in Hong Kong are defying police and recent attacks on pro-democracy activists to attend an unauthorised march. Police and protesters clashed when officers charged at protesters and fired tear gas and water cannons. Protesters have set fire to barricades. The demonstrators are pushing for more democratic freedom in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. Tensions are high after a prominent rally organiser and an activist handing out flyers were brutally attacked earlier this week. Well, for the latest, we're joined by DW correspondent Charlotte Chelson-Pill, who's in Hong Kong. Charlotte, tell us what's happening there at the moment.
Rebecca, hundreds of thousands of people have been back on the streets today. It's really turning into another violent evening. We've seen water cannon used very liberally on the streets, with that blue dye, which is so often used here in Hong Kong, designed to stain and mark anybody who is hit in an attempt to try and identify them, perhaps arrest them later. And then, of course, tear gas as well. Round after round of tear gas canisters have been fired at protesters. Now, this protest did begin very peacefully. We had people of all ages on the streets, but then, as is the pattern at these protests, police moved in, cleared the protesters out, because after all, this is an unauthorized protest, left behind the young people mainly who are on the front lines, who've been engaged in these clashes with police. What we've really seen in the last few hours is a cat and mouse game between the police and protesters as one follows another to various different locations.
And just remind us about what happened this week. Some pro-democracy activists were attacked. Has that impacted the focus of today's protest?
Well, there are a number of things that are really fueling the anger here at this particular protest. When it was organised, it was under the label Fight Against the Face Mask Ban, which has been introduced by the government. But since those two attacks, which took place earlier this week, that really has fueled the anger among people here. Those images, gruesome images of the two attacks, have gone viral here on social media. It's something everybody's been talking about, including pro-democracy lawmakers. Now, one of those people who was attacked was the convener of the Civil Human Rights Front. That is the organisation that originally planned this rally before it was called off by police. So he's a very high-profile figure here in Hong Kong. He was attacked with hammers. Very brutal images there. He was hit on the head. He is still in hospital. He's said to be in a stable condition at the moment. And then last night, another protester stabbed, including in the stomach. Gruesome images of that. One person has been arrested, suspected of carrying out that attack.
Charlotte Chelson-Pill in Hong Kong, thanks very much for the update. I'm turning now to some of the other stories making headlines around the world. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has been sworn in for a second and final term. Widodo, a former furniture salesman, has pledged to attract more investment and focus on improving the country's human resources. In his inauguration speech, he said he expected poverty to be wiped out in Indonesia over the next two decades. In Lebanon, tens of thousands of people have again taken to the streets. It's the fourth day of protests since the government proposed new taxes. They're part of austerity measures aimed at combating a growing economic crisis. The protesters blame the political elite for the poor state of the economy. Three people have died during protests in Chile against public transport fare hikes. President Sebastián Piñera announced the price increases would be suspended following days of violent protests. The unrest has been Chile's worst in decades. Bolivians are voting in elections today, deciding whether to give left-wing President Evo Morales a fourth term. Morales faces a tough race. Opinion polls suggest he may not win an outright victory. That would trigger a runoff election later this year. Morales has been credited with using revenues from the country's gas and mineral reserves to lift millions out of poverty. But allegations of corruption and anti-democratic practices have hurt his popularity. Our next report looks at a divided society considering its options.
At this market in La Paz, the presidential election is the number one talking point.
It's time for a change. Morales has been in power for too long.
I want Evo Morales to carry on until 2025.
Leftist Evo Morales has governed Bolivia for the past 13 years, and he took the lead in pre-election polls. The former cocoa farmer has improved conditions for the country's indigenous population. La Paz now has a modern, climate-friendly cable car network. The economy has been growing for years, thanks mainly to Bolivia's gas exports. But Morales' candidacy is controversial, as the constitution bars him from running for a fourth time.
The perception is that the president has deliberately ignored the rules. Many Bolivians are worried that Morales will ignore the rules in future too.
The president is also facing criticism for the fires that ravished Bolivia's rainforest this year. The backlash could cost him the election.
Well, a day after what was being hailed as Super Saturday in the British Parliament, it looks like another Brexit extension could be on the table. UK lawmakers voted to postpone ratifying a deal struck between Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the EU just a few days ago. Johnson has sent a series of contradictory letters to Brussels, the first asking for a Brexit delay, followed by a later text reaffirming his determination for the UK to leave the EU by the end of October.
That we have reached the best possible...
A tale of two letters. After a day of parliamentary wrangling, Boris Johnson was forced to write to the EU requesting yet another Brexit delay. He had earlier said he would rather be dead in a ditch than request another extension. To show his unhappiness, he did not sign the letter. To his fellow Brexiteers, that was making the best of a bad business.
A letter was sent because Parliament required it to be sent. But Parliament can insist that the letter was sent, but Parliament can't change the Prime Minister's mind.
As if to prove that point, Johnson then sent another letter more true to his heart, arguing against any delay, and this time he signed it. So, with less than 2 weeks until October 31st, what will happen next? Some are bracing for more legal and parliamentary manoeuvres that could bog down any progress. Meanwhile, the idea of having another referendum on leaving the EU seems to be gaining ground. Hundreds of thousands of protesters massed in London while Parliament was in session, calling for Britain to remain in the EU.
We've got to take our time over this. We've got to go back to the people. We've got to do a lot more thinking about it. It's not all right just to say, well, it's been 3 years, no, we're all getting bored with it. No.
Well, I think I'm a bit confused about what happens next. I'm not quite sure why there's a delay. I think if people were honest, they'd want a delay so they can have a referendum.
After years of wrangling over Brexit, many Britons and people in the rest of the EU are exhausted by all the drama. But the latest delay means the play will run a little longer.
Australian airline Qantas has completed the longest ever non-stop commercial passenger flight. After 19 hours and 16 minutes, the Boeing 787 Dreamliner landed in Sydney. It was part of a test to assess how ultra-long-haul flights affect passenger jet lag and crew fatigue. To give the plane sufficient fuel range, the aircraft had taken off in New York with a full tank, a restricted baggage load, and just 49 people on board. A world first for a commercial airline. Well, DW's Carl Nasman joins me now with more on this record-breaking flight, rather. Carl, hi, thanks for joining me. So this was more than just a long-haul plane, right? It was a bit of a laboratory in the sky, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was like a flying science experiment. I mean, the flight had a few goals, one of them, of course, being publicity. But maybe the biggest one was to test the effect on humans of being in the air for that long without a break, of changing so many time zones. I mean, that isn't necessarily easy on the body. So there were actually scientists on board the plane as well. They called this Project Sunrise. And as you can see, they were looking at a few different things. I mean, the aim was to test the impact of things like temperature, lighting, food, and exercise on jet lag. So people during the flight, they were getting up, they were stretching, they were doing yoga, apparently even doing the Macarena on the flight. It went further than that. Researchers were also collecting blood samples from the crew, or I'm sorry, urine samples. Even the meals were specially designed. So take a look at this food. Apparently, spicy food is something that might help you with jet lag. Also, passengers were encouraged not to drink alcohol. Not so sure about that. But the food does look good. Now the
tests looks better than any flight that I've ever been on. I've got to say that food. But
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. Chinese beef ribs with bok choy, apparently. Tests were performed on the pilots as well. There was a camera monitoring their alertness levels. That's a good thing. A 19-hour straight flight that the pilots were. Made sure that they were staying awake.
It is important that they stay awake, I would have thought. But 19 hours, 16 minutes nonstop, this is a new record. But put it into perspective with lengths of other flights.
Yeah, I mean, so this was the longest flight nonstop in history, but it's actually not that much longer than some commercial nonstop flights that are already in operation. Take a look. So there's a few other flights that are already going. Now, Singapore Airlines can go from Singapore to New York City nonstop in about 18 and a half hours, so really not that far behind. Qatar Airways flies Auckland to Doha in just under 18 hours. Another Qantas flight, you might know this one, Perth to London, takes 17 hours and 20 minutes. And Emirates will go Dubai and Auckland in about the same amount of time. The thing is here, I mean, it's all about the technology. So planes are getting more and more efficient, more aerodynamic, but they're still not quite there yet. Qantas says for this newest flight to really be operational and carry a full load, it won't be available till the year 2022.
Right. So maybe in time for my next trip home. Or not in time for my next trip home.
Right. I mean, you're from Australia. I'm from California. We're used to this kind of long flight. Yeah. But 19 hours, I mean, would you do that? Would you sit on a flight 19 hours nonstop?
I don't know. So when that one from London to Perth was announced, I thought, God, what is it, 17 hours? And I thought, 17 hours on a flight, you must be joking. But not having to make that stop. I mean, I wonder if they did it straight from Berlin to Melbourne. I would be tempted, although I'm not a great flyer. I get a little bit nervous. You definitely want to be in the pointy end of the plane.
Look, for me, sometimes it's worth not making the stop, not going through security again, not running to get to the next gate. But if it means sitting in a middle seat, not eating that food,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know, that food
I'm not
was
so
very
sure about
business
that.
Class
That's a
to
long
me.
Flight without the chance to stand up and take a break.
When you're in the middle, down the back near the toilets, you know, for 19
We've
all
hours.
Been
there. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have Carl Messman. Thank you very much for coming in. Well, Saturday's Bundesliga saw Dortmund play host to Gladbach, the surprise league leaders after seven match days. It's been a tricky few weeks for Dortmund, who hadn't had a win for three games going into this clash, but a 1-0 victory thrust them back into the top four.
Dortmund were looking to end their run of draws against the team with the strongest away form in the table. A tough task then for Lucien Favre's side. Chances were at a premium early on, though Stefan Lehner came close for Gladbach after Laszlo Benes whipped a free kick round to the back post. Dortmund's best opportunity also came from a set piece, though Jan Sommer was more than equal to Mats Hummel's header. Dortmund then looked to have taken the lead through Thorgan Hazard, but it wasn't to be, with the video referee spotting an offside in the build-up. Marco Reus, the offender. The teams remained neck and neck, 0-0 at the interval. After the break, the home side came out with fresh gusto and earned themselves a lead. Hazard, foiled in the first half, found Marco Reus with this through ball and the captain converted. His fifth goal of the season. But Dortmund have had trouble holding on to their leads this season, and they soon had a scare after going in front. Roman Bürki went off injured, replaced by Marvin Hitz, and Gladbach smelled blood, but Patrick Herrmann couldn't convert, and Dortmund's 3 points stayed safe.
You're watching DW News. Up next, meet an aria-singing taxi driver from South Africa. That's in DW Reporter. And don't forget, you can get all the news headlines on our website. That's dw.com